Morning to each one. I'm glad I see you, I guarantee. As I've made three serve, this is my third service since the first of the year. The other two is in Shreveport, Louisiana, which I enjoy going down there. So, please bow your prayers. I have something on my heart this morning that the Lord has given me. So we desire the Lord to help us to bring it out. It's something that is needful, absolute, so to speak. There we go. Now I don't sound in my own head so much. Let's go to Psalms 27 chapter, please. Psalms 27 and about the 14th verse here. It said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want to preach on waiting this morning. How many of you just like to sit and wait? Or maybe stand and wait. It's something that rakes against sometimes rakes against our nerves, so to speak, because we want to do something. If you have a house that you're building, and we have one that's just across the street that away from us a little bit north, it's going to be a beautiful home, looks like. When you start in at the very beginning, how quick does it go? Pretty fast. If you have a good crew and they're working, that house is usually built fast. But the more you get into it and the more you do, guess what? It gets slower and slower and slower. Because your finishing touches take longer than your rough end touches. So consequently, you're sitting there going, I want to get into this house, hurry and get it done. But it may take another 2 weeks or 3 weeks before it's done. This morning, God is a great God. And Jesus died, and you know why he died? He died for our souls, but he died to be the head of the church and to work with everybody in that. And consequently, he's got your heart, soul, mind, and body in mind, and he is dealing and working, and we don't understand all the time what he's doing, but he has got everything, and the end result is for you and I to go to heaven. And it takes time, somebody, sometimes, and you and I have to wait, and wait, and wait. I've had affliction problems since the end of June. It's been one thing pretty well right after another, and I'm still dealing with it. Right here. And my foot. I got two things right now. And I'm thinking, Lord, I would like to feel good again. I would like to not have pain here and there. And if I bump my finger, I yell because of the pain. And I'd like to do that. But he's got something in mind for me. And I don't totally know what it is. But he told me, and when I was dealing with this bursitis problem and nearly killed myself, he let me know, he said, patience, patience, patience. In your patience, what does it say? Possess ye your souls. So he let me know, have patience, child. Have patience, just wait on me. Well, that got better, and then a cough started in. The cough got better, and the foot started in. The foot may be unfair, but this is hurting. And so it's been one thing after another, but he's got a reason for doing it. And Brother Clifford Wilson told me when I was so sick in 1987 and nearly died, he told me, he said, the Lord is doing with you like a film strip. And he said, in this film strip, you're going to have your individual plot spots. And he said, you're going to be dealing with people, helping people and working with people. And he said, the Lord's going to bring one of those squares up and remind you what you suffered at that time or what you went through. And he said, that young man is going to help you to help them. Not any wiser words has ever been said. Number one, I did not feel like I was going to be a pastor at that time. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wasn't interested in pastoral work at all. I was an evangelist, and that's where I was going. But little did I know, when I got back home, I was going to become a pastor. And that sickness alone has helped me. Now, I know we say, well, why do I have to go through this, and why do I have to do this and that? Because the Lord wants you and I to help one another. Amen? It ain't all the preachers. You can do it yourself. When little old women, the Lord has used them to go in and lay hands on people and pray for people and have them heal, and they wasn't even in the ministry. God uses the individuals of the church of God to help one another. And there have been so many times I would go to visit the sick, and they would say, I'm suffering here, I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. I say, I understand. I've been there, done that. And that helps me to pray with a burden. That helps me to put it all into it, so to speak. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage now while you wait on the Lord. Lord, help us here. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Lord wants to help us, but he wants us to wait as patiently, if that's possible, as we can. He shall strengthen thine heart. When we're waiting, he can give us courage. He can give us scriptures. He can give us song. He can do things that maybe it's just exactly what you and I need him to give us to help us as we wait. A number of years ago, when my baby daughter was about this high, we was going to cross the street, the four of us. And she'd look, she thought everything was clear, and she was ready to go. And I'd reach down and grab her hand and pull her back. And she, a little bit, she's looking both ways. She thinks it's time to go, but I saw something she didn't see. She's ready to go. I grabbed her hand and I pulled her back. This happened about three or four times, and it got frustrating to LaDonna Beth. She did not like her daddy pulling her back, but I didn't want her getting killed, neither. The Lord wants us to be exactly everything he's trying to do with us. And you and I never know the depth of what we might be involved in with the people, with sinners, with saints, with hypocrite backsliders of God's bound. We do not know the depth of what we might be in. And the Lord is using us, teaching us, dealing with us to help us to be a better person so we can help people. Or it just be for our own soul, our own mind, our own heart. So he said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage while you do it. Lord, help us. And he shall strengthen thine heart. It don't take very much. Jesus Christ went through a lot. And he can strengthen us, encourage us, inspire us, and fire us in a moment's time. How much of the glory of God have you ever had? Do you know what the glory of God is? Glory of God is a very close presence of God. Now, I'm talking about there's some maybe some glory internally. But when I was sick in 87, one night the Lord come by. And I suffered for weeks. Well, not a long time this time, because I had about another 5 weeks after I got to Brother Curtis's. But I had suffered quite a while. And the Lord came by and he got real close to me. And I was about to explode physically. And I kid you not, I was just about to blow up. My heart was about to explode. I was beside myself. And I usually shout or I cry, but I don't usually do it at the same time. I was shouting and I was crying. And the wife got up and she come in there and she looked at me and said, you all right? Yes, ma'am, I'm fine. The Lord just come by. He came by real close. To me, that was a unction or a blessing because of what I was doing for him. And he decided to just give some strength, some blessings, some glory. And he done it. And I'll never forget it. Another time at Brother Salmon's, I was, they had their, in the room. I was in the, I don't know how many of you there were there, but I was in the den. I guess that's what you call it. The new part that Brother Mart added on had a pretty good sized room and had a restroom here and so forth. And they put me in a recliner right there, and that's where I stayed most of the time there. And they had a radio, not a radio, but a tape player and some speakers in there, and they would play music for me. And the Lord came down in a psalm in our book, and he poured it on again. And I was about beside myself. Those are the little blessings that we get from God for doing what we do. Trusting Him, waiting on Him. He knows it's hard to wait. He knows it's hard to wait when we're in depth of affliction and we feel like maybe we're almost at death's door, so to speak. We're hurting and the pain and everything. He knows it's hard to wait. But the bottom line is He's teaching us and deepening us and helping us to get a hold of something that we've never gotten before. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now then, numbers and numbers of years ago, back in down in the state of Alabama, at the Sister Perlene's house, I was there a few times, but I preached there once or twice. Didn't preach there much. Most of it was Roy and Betty Joyce's. But anyway, she had a rather small living room, and so the only place they really had to put me was in the corner. I mean, a literal corner. And then they put a big, what I call a French chair in front of me for a pulpit, and I was at where I could hardly breathe. I must less move. And somebody said, well, you've got to move all the time. Brother Marty says he don't feel like he's preaching if he ain't moving. Well, I'm not the only one that moves around the pulpit. I'm just a fireball in the pulpit, but folks, I am slowing down. But anyway, I was there, and I was preaching on subjects like this right here. Not knowing what the Lord was doing at the time. And about all I could do was move my hands. But the anointing was flowing and the power was flowing. And I got through and Brother Marshall said, this is exactly what we need. They were trying to buy the property that they eventually bought. And there was difficulties in that. And they was having to wait. And it was a little bit discouraging to them. And when I got in and brought this message about waiting on the Lord, he said, we're just going to wait. It all worked out. Sometimes we think, well, it's taking too long and so forth. But we got to remember God's in this. And if God's in it, He's dealing with it. And when He's dealing with it, He takes His time sometimes to get something done. So wait on the Lord. Wait on Him and let Him work. Telling Molly that one time years ago, Brother Egbert called me up. He said, I need your help. We had been traveling together and preaching together for quite a while at that time. And I said, well, okay, what you got? And so he told me. And I said, well, I said, I got a problem. I've got my whole month set in place. You do? Yeah. I said, I want to go here and there. And I thought I've had it all lined up. So I was rather discouraging to him. And when we got through with the talk, he said, would you please at least pray about it? I said, yes, sir, I'll do that. And I got to praying, and the Lord, what I thought was the Lord's will maybe wasn't quite as much either that or something's going on because this place couldn't have me, that place couldn't have me, this place couldn't have me, and I only had one place out of about four or five. So I called him back, and I said, well, I said, what you got in mind? And we went, at best I remember, we was all the way from Canada to south of Miami, Florida, and in between. Oh, today the Lord works in ways that we don't understand. And He doesn't rush. Because God has the depth of our heart and mind and our soul. He's got the depths of it. And I'm trying to teach this child this and this and this. If he would just wait and get it. I'm trying to give him the word. Listen, folks, we don't learn the word of God overnight. I've been studying this Bible for years and still don't know everything in it. By any means, I know a lot. I know more than I started 50-something years ago. But the bottom line is, He is the one that is a master teacher. There's not a teacher that's ever lived or died that is anywhere near close to God. Because God can take and reveal things and open up things and do things that nobody else can do. And I've sat back and I've watched Him and I go, wow. What looked like real hard for me is not near as hard once He got into it. Once He touched it. I was trying to figure out how to do something in my house, my first home. And I couldn't figure it out. I thought, how do you do this? And one morning before I got out, I was still laying in bed. And he came to me and said, this is what you need to do, child, right here. And it was so easy. Listen, when he starts moving, folks, people, the things fall into place exactly like he wants them to. And everything becomes beautiful. Ha ha. You're looking and you're going, wow. 55:8 of Isaiah. Let's go ahead with a little bit more of the word. Isaiah 55 and 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now again, with God working with you and I, He wants to take our thoughts and get them in line with His thoughts as much as possible through the Word or through a song. He has come down many, many times. Sister Angela made a statement one time and listened to her. And to me, He's used Scripture a lot to talk to me. Or He just planned to talk to me. One or the other told me this is what I'd like you to do or that and so forth. But the bottom line is, Sister Angela goes, the Lord uses songs with me a lot. I thought, yeah, you're a singer. You're also a songwriter. And I can see that. So He works with every one of us individually the way, the best way. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, child. Neither are your ways my ways. I want you to get my thoughts. I want you to open up to my thoughts and get into my thoughts. All right, let's go back to Psalms, the 69th chapter. 69 and 1 of Psalms here. Save me, O God, for waters are coming to my soul. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Now this would be a sad situation for a person to be in. For the waters have come in unto my soul. In other words, I am deep in this thing. I'm sinking in deep mire where there's no standing. I am coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. Listen, there is times that people in great grief or in situations, things are just overflowing on them. It is such a, they look at it and it looks so broad and so deep that they can't even fathom it. But yet the Lord has allowed them to go through the depths of that. He's wanting to teach them. He's wanting to help them. He's wanting them to see that He can hold them when nothing else can hold them. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overwhelm me. And I'm weary of my crying and my throat is dried and my eyes fail while I wait. I've just about gone as far as I can go. I'm caught up. I don't see any way out. It's a bad deal. But the Lord says, wait. Wait on me. Listen, folks, He has power to hold anybody and anything. I've watched Him work down through the years. I've seen many miracles, instant healings, salvation given to people. One of the greatest cases I've ever seen in my life of a man that got saved down in South Carolina when I was there, Andy Weatherford. And Sister Marie called me up and said, Andy wants to talk to you this morning. You free? Can you come? I said, sure. So I got over there and the wife and the children had fled. And he was sitting in the backyard on the tailgate of his pickup. And he had the very long looking look on his face. I ain't pronounced that right. Anyway, he's looking and I looked at him and I thought, oh, Andy. And I went to him and we started counseling and talking and sharing. Then we went into the house and we started praying. And God come down and delivered that man. And He literally delivered him. And you know what brides or what engaged girls look like when they get engaged? They're just a bride, just a glow. And he glowed. I've never seen a human being get salvation and do like he did. He just glowed. Because of the working of God. Because he had been in a deep place in sin. He had been there and he was in a mess. And he needed help. And he started crying out at God. And got him out of the mess. God can get us out of anything, folks. Whether when we're saved, when we're unsaved. He can do anything we need Him to do. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Have you ever been there? Have you cried enough? You're just tired of crying? I've been there. I have been there. crying over and over and over. My throat was dried. My eyes fail while I wait for the Lord. But I got news for you. He never failed me. He never failed me. No matter what it was or what the situation was, one night I come home and I can't remember what happened. Somebody hurt me or something. I don't know what it was. And I listened. This is before I was married, and I come in the house and I knelt down at the recliner or a chair, and all I could do was cry. I couldn't say a word. I just knelt there and bawled like a baby for quite a while. And the Lord began to work. And he began to dry up the tears. I knew he heard. I knew he knew what was wrong. I didn't say one, that I remember, I never said one word. But he dried everything up and began to bless me. And he got me back on my feet, so to speak. Or I got up and went about, and he took care of everything. Well, today, we're going to get into some places that's deep, folks. We're going to get into some places that's hard. We're going to get into some places where there's lots of tears and lots of pain. But I got news for you. God can be right there to lift you, hold you. Just wait on the Lord. Let him work. Let him touch. Let him heal. Let him bless. Let him do anything he wants to do. Just wait on him. Some people say, well, I got to go to a doctor. I got to do this. I got to do that. What you need to do is wait on the Lord. And let him help you. Let him work with you in every way. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 14 and 22. Let's get down some more thoughts here on waiting. 14 and 22 of Jeremiah. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all of these things. The vanities and the world to the world has what they think a lot to offer. But the bottom line is they cannot give or do what God can do. There is doctors out there that can help people, but they can't heal people. There is lawyers out there that can help, but they maybe can't do just everything. Had a cousin one time that had a heart condition. He was quite older. They had gone to this heart specialist and this one and this one and this one, and they all kept telling him the same thing. I can't do a thing for you. Finally, seemed like somebody told Lavelle and Elaine, said, Lavelle, there's a certain heart specialist surgeon, said, this is his name, go see him. And he did. And that man said, I can do it. Are you sure? Yes, I can do it. And he did it. He did it. But it took all those people to get it done, so to speak. I mean, all those people. In other words, he went through a number before somebody say, I can do it. Folks, there's one God, and there's one Christ, and there's one Holy Ghost, and you don't need any other specialist, because they're the specialists of specialists, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they can do anything we need them to do. What do you need today? Oh, the vanities. Said, art not thou he, Lord, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee. We're going to wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Look around, where'd all this come from? Anybody in here make this? Even your furniture come from trees and made from God. Your cars is made, but he's the one that put all the things together to make all the metal and the steel and all of that and all the rubber for the tires and so forth. Everything we've got has the hand of God on it. And especially us as a human being. And God wants to take us, and he wants to use us, and he wants to bless us to help somebody else out. And the way we're going to learn that is to wait upon God. If you don't learn to wait upon God, how are you and I going to help somebody else wait upon the Lord? How can you tell them, well, what you need to do is wait upon the Lord? And they've looked at you and thought, well, you didn't do a very good job. You didn't do very good. The Lord wants us to learn to wait because he wants us to be an example to somebody else or somebody's else. I went through a long battle one time. My nerves got bad. And I'm going to admit something I don't like to admit. I nearly went under during that trial. At one point, my nerves were so bad, my mind, I was depressed. I was in a mess. And I finally got to a place I thought, I can't go any further. And I told the wife, and she begged me and pled with me. She said, whatever you do, don't quit, girl. Don't quit. Well, I went out that day and went to work. And I, to this day, can't tell you what the Lord done, but the Lord come on the scene and he gave me just what I needed. And I brightened up. And I kept going, and I've never quit. He says here that, art not thou he, O Lord our God, therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Listen, you can look at people that look like, and well, does. There's carpenters got a lot of experience, doctors got a lot of experience, lawyers got a lot of experience. There's a lot of people out there that's got years of experience, but the bottom line, they don't match God. They don't come clean. He's got thousands and thousands of years of experience, if you want to use that term, to know, to do, to how to do, and so forth. And all he's got to do is speak the word. He just wants us to wait on him until he's ready to do it. How are we doing on waiting on God? Are we really waiting? Are we really pleasing? You know, you tell a child, or two children, or three children, saying, I want you to get your coat on, and I want to sit right here on the chair and wait for Dad and I to get everything around what we need to do, and then we'll go. And they're fidgeting, and they're moving, and they just can't understand it. Lord, help us. Are we like that with God? Lord, help me. Now, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm pointing back at me, too. The bottom line is the Lord wants us to learn to be a good subject child, waiting on the power of God to do what he wants to do for us. Oh, he's got it all, folks. He has it all. There's not anything he doesn't have. All right, let's go to Psalm 40 and 1. Psalm 40 and 1. I love this reading right here. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me up and also out of a horrible pit. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise be unto God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thy is done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I ain't got the most patience sometimes. Anybody in here have that problem? Molly, tell you, I can get a little impatient sometimes. But the Lord, he said here, said, I waited. I waited patiently. And said, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me up. Oh, today. Two very important attributes to be led into is our love for God, and then wait patiently, and to patiently wait for him. We must love Christ with all our hearts, or we will not patiently wait for him to work how he wants to work in our lives. It takes all our love for him, or the devil has a point to start working with when we're in a fiery trial and waiting for the Lord to work out his will. Here is where we will begin to see how much we really love the Lord. Hasn't it been nice for somebody to direct you into something? What's the greatest temporal thing you've been directed in? I directed people over and over where to go in Oklahoma City. And there had been times I would show them on the map. I would tell them what to do. I'd lived there all of my life. I'd spent several years on the interstate system in service station. And I pretty well knew what I was doing. And I've had some people go, well, why can't I go this way? And why can't I do that? You know what it would do? It would kind of frustrate me. I thought, if you knew it, why did you ask me to start with? You know, we knew God that way. You know, we're sitting there and Lord, lead our lives and do this and do that. And he starts doing it and we go, Lord help us. Now is it nice for the Lord to direct our lives? He started before he was saved, directing you into the love of God, then continued after you was saved, directed you into the deeper depths of the love of God. Now the Lord wants to direct us in the deeper areas of waiting on the Lord. How does he do it? He directs us by his own example, the Bible, messages, testimonies, exhortation, Bible studies, our own experiences, and uses songs. When Christ was praying all night, why was he doing that? Or in the wilderness, why was he doing that? Or about Lazarus' death, why was he doing that? Why did he do these things? It means something to wait on God, but it means more to be patient while we wait. Did you not want your children to be patient? When you are training them in various things, help us not to be fretful in waiting. Rebecca homeschooled our daughters all the way from kindergarten up. And Dinah wasn't old enough to start behind Cynthia, but yet, little darling, she wanted to do something too. And so Rebecca looked the whole scene over and said, well, I'm going to do this with her, Carl. I said, all right, kind of a pre-kindergarten, I guess you'd call it. And she said, Carl, one day I was trying to get something to her and she wasn't getting it. And I would teach her this way and do that, and she still wasn't getting it. You ever think about us and God? He's trying to get something to us and we're not getting it. And she said, all of a sudden, Carl, she said her eyes lit up. And a bright smile come on her face and she thought, I got it. That's the way the Lord wants us to do. When he's trying to get something to us, we have trouble sometimes understanding the word, maybe at first. We have sometimes maybe knowing the will of God, where to go, what to do, how to do. Well, you're going to have that. But as we're waiting on him, he can make it easier and easier if he needs to, till we get it. And then we just, had a person one time that was wanting us to come to the mountainside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Vader McMillan, Sister Mary Rogers. And I don't remember why she wanted me to come. About, I know she wanted me to have some services, but why me, Lord? And I could never get it worked in with my schedule. It never would work. And one day I was praying. And the Lord just opened it up. And I just brightened up. I said, that's it right there. So when I got through, I went in. I said to the wife, I said, I got it. She goes, what you got? And I told her. She said, let's go. One person on the side of a mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I was preaching to. One person. One person besides the wife and I. We didn't have any children at that time. That was in 1986 in the spring. But the bottom line was she was so hungry. Listen, folks, we're one person. And there's a lot of other people out here that's one person. And the Lord is working with this one and this one and this one and this one. And he all wants us to just work in his will and way so we can bless one another as we're working. And I'm not bragging when I say this, but we're getting down. We were getting ready to go. And I said, well, I need to finish up. She goes, Brother Carl, I could listen to you all day long. I thought, wow, you must be real hungry. All day, she was wanting God And she had waited and waited for a little preacher to come by to preach to her. And she was so blessed, I guess. That's what she's indicating anyway. She was so blessed, she just wanted me to go on and on. Lord, help us to wait on the Lord. And Lord, help us to get exactly what He wants for us and then give it out. And I'm not talking about Brother Bob, just Brother Bob now. I'm talking about all of us. Give out something. Somebody come to Molly. And they told her of the blessing she had been to somebody. And said the person was plumb in tears. And that blessed Molly so much, she was in tears. And listen, it wasn't that she preached a message or taught something or done something overly special in a sense. But yeah, it was real special. But the bottom line was she was following God and waiting on God and doing what God wanted her to do. And when she done it, then this person got a great blessing. Somebody said, I can't do it. Why not? Well, Brother Carl, you don't understand. Listen, God can take a person and do anything He wants with them. All you got to do is clay in His hands. Let Him use you and take you and work with you. And He can use you any way He wants to, as long as we're subject to God working the way He wants. Wait on the Lord. He was down deep. But He said, I waited patiently. Waited patiently for Him. And He inclined unto me. And He heard my cry. Has He ever answered your prayers? How many of you know He's answered your prayers? All right, there you go. Now, if He answered that prayer, do you think He'll answer another prayer? Well, you being parents and the child gets to crying, what do you do? Throw them in the closet and don't do anything. You start working with them. You start helping them. And they say, Mom, I need this or I need that and so forth. Or Daddy, I need it. I was a doctor at the house, if you want to call it that way. And every time they got a cut or a this or that, it wasn't the wife that was doing it. It was me taking care of the blood and so forth. I was doing it. But I didn't mind doing it. That was my little darlings. And I wanted to help them. God wants to help you. I don't care if you're a teenager, young person, or what you are. The Lord wants to take you. And He wants you to wait patiently on Him. And then as you wait and He teaches you and works with you and He gets you to a place. And then He's going to give you something and tell you you'll give it to somebody. Might be just a tract. It might be something, a biblical scripture. Or whatever it might be. And the Lord give it to you and you give it to them. And it just thrills them. He was deep down. But the Lord brought him up. He redeemed him, He settled him, He established me, He put a new song in his mouth. Even praise be unto God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud and such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord our God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Oh, today, are we waiting on the good Lord? Are we waiting on Him and looking to Him? The Lord wants to help you, but He wants you to wait. He wants you to wait. Teaching children takes time. Building houses takes time. If you built a car from the ground up, that takes time. There have been many a person that has bought a car. My brother doing it right now with what I think it's a 57 Chevy. And he bought it. He done body work for years and so forth. He can do about anything he wants with an automobile. But guess how long it's taking him to do it? It did not start easy. And it's still going. Part of it's been sometimes financially didn't have the money to do what he wanted to do. Had to wait to get the money to do it. But it takes time. It takes a lot of time. You gotta wait and wait on some things. And as you build it and so forth, it just takes time and patience. Oh, today the Lord wants to take us and use us. He wants to build with us something that will be a blessing. How many of you ever gone to a car show? How many of you ever seen the old time ones? Or even the new ones? And you look at them and you marvel at what you see. I've seen some of these cars, and I don't go in very much, not like my brother. But went with him one time to one there in Guthrie. And there was the most beautiful paint jobs. And the body work was just perfect. And I was awed and begawed by what that person had done to that car. But then they climb in and they fire up the engine and they shift it into gear and away they go. They done it. The Lord wants to be able to fire us up. He wants to be able to shift us into gear, so to speak, and He wants to send us to do what He wants us to do. But we gotta wait. We gotta wait sometime because He don't do everything overnight. It takes time to get us where He wants us to go. Alright, let's go to 59 and 17 of Psalms. Let's wrap it up here. 59 and 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Now let's go 16 too. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Under thee. In all of this, we've got to remember He's our strength. We've got to remember, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. We've got to remember that. Paul, what did Paul say? What did Paul say? Paul said what? I am what I am by what? By the grace of God. I don't claim to be anything. And what you see and what you've watched for 50 something years, and there's people in here seen me all that time since I've basically been saved. You've seen me all of my saved life. It ain't what Carl's done, it's what he's done. It's his working with me. It's his teaching me. It's his blessing me. It's God. It's all God. And when I get to heaven, when I get there and I see Christ, I'm going to say, thank you. I thank him a lot down here, but I'm going to let him know, thank you, thank you, thank you, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. Listen, folks, we can't get to heaven without Christ and waiting on him to work with us as he wants to work. You can't do it. It's going to take time. How many of us know when you're going to die? Nobody knows when you're going to die. I begin to wonder if my time is getting short, but I don't know that for a fact. He may just be putting me through a test of time and then fire me up some more and send me out. I don't know. Somebody said there in a minister's meeting, are you coming to California this year? I said, I have no idea. Right now it's about one day at a time. I don't know. I'd like to come. Well, he told me some things and well, that sounds good. I'd like to, but I don't know. I mean, it's been one thing right after another. But God, in all these things that He allows us to go through, He's got a reason, and He's teaching, and He's training, and He's establishing, and He's settling, and He's working. Why? So you can help somebody else. Or you can be a blessing to God. He died to make us a blessing. He died to take us to heaven. He died for a lot of different things. Lord, help us to wait on Him and get what He wants for us. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we get into some situations with people that turn on us. I've been there when they chewed me up and spit me out. I've been there when they wanted to look like kill me. But the bottom line, I waited on him and he brought me through. I waited on him and I look around and some of these people that were doing me all the damage they could do, where are they at? They're out there. They're not with us anymore. They've left. All right, let's go to James 5 and 1. James 5 and 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl. for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers which have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped and entered in the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on earth and been waiting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. They said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Have long patience for it until they receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your heart for the coming of the Lord, and draw it nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. Now, talking about all these different things in the first five, six verses here, but it said to us, it said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. When's the Lord going to come back? I got news for you. I'm ready for him anytime. This world has got to be in such a mess. I'd like to take Molly Paces and show her, but I'm almost scared to go to some of these cities, San Francisco. You know, they at Washington, D.C., I think, has got the cars that people are stealing are at an all-time high. I would maybe go there, but I'd want to cruise through. Wouldn't want to stop, park the car, and get out and look around. Well, you can't sometimes see things, but maybe the Golden Gate Bridge. But the bottom line is, this world's in a mess. I told the Lord, I said, I'd be glad if you'd come back. Just come on back and just bring this thing into judgment. You know what he's doing? He's trying to get every soul he can saved. He's working hard to bring it all into a great ending as much as he can. So be patient, therefore, brethren. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until they received the early and the latter rain. I was looking on this in the commentators, and I believe the early and the latter, I think they said the early rain was in October and the latter, I think, was in April. And they were waiting and looking. Farmers have to have long patience. They have to, I don't know about them out in the world, they probably don't pray like Brother Edwin did. But I figure there is farmers that's been among the saints that, Lord, please protect my crop. Please don't let it hail on it. Please don't let this happen and that happen. I'm sure they have done that through the years. So the Lord would help them. But he said, be also patient. Be like them. Be patient. Establish your hearts. Get settled and established, for the Lord draweth, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Said, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example. Did those people back there in the Old Testament and the New, did they have any problems? Did everything they do was just perfect? Did they ever make any mistakes? Did they ever get hung upside down? Did they ever have people that wanted to kill them? Did they ever chase them out of town? Did they ever pick on them and so forth? Yes, they did. For an example of suffering affliction. But they were patient. What Paul said, and I turned to that, but I was so many days in the deep and I was sowing this and this and this and this. Paul didn't have an easy life, folks. I've not suffered anything like he did. Brother Bob hadn't either. There ain't nobody in Church of God today that I know of. That we've suffered things, yeah, but But things he suffered is different than what we've suffered. But the bottom line is, he's working to help us learn how to wait more diligently, more patiently. And he said, then we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. You have heard of the patience of the Lord. Heard of him. How patient is God? Heard the patience of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. Has the Lord ever waited? How much did the Lord wait on you to get saved? First time he called you, did you just jump down on your knees and start crying for mercy? I didn't. Brother Lloydette come down there to not my service station, but Danny's service station. And bless his heart, he'd had a burden for me, and he wanted me to get saved. And he had been my friend, and I appreciated everything. And he come down there, and he worked from 9 o'clock till midnight. He finally, in frustration, in a sense of the word, said, Carl, if you just get out on your knees and beg for mercy, he would save you right here, right now, and I wouldn't do it. But there's a Jesus Christ of righteous that climbed in and sat out in the right seat of the car, and he went with me back to the house. And he started doing things that was the final things that knocked all the props right out from under me. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to have businesses. I wanted to have homes. I wanted to have a wife. I wanted to have children. And guess what he did? He said, you can be ever so rich, I can take it all away in a moment's time, and you won't have nothing. That knocked that prop out. And then, Brother Bob, there was a, I don't remember if Lloyd told me it was a cousin. Anyway, it was a family member of his that was a young person about my age at that time or long in there that got killed, I believe, in a car wreck. Or something happened to him and he died. And the Lord let me know, you could be just like him. That got my attention, folks. That was the last props that I was holding on to. I was young. I was doing well. And he said, I can take you out in eternity like this and all the riches, I can take them away just like that. And I went home and I went to bed and I laid there and I couldn't go to sleep. And finally, I was tired of fighting the Lord and I got down. He waited patiently for me to finally say, have mercy on my soul. Molly, Brother Galen, did you give him the first time? No, you probably didn't. You probably, he waited and waited and waited on you, some of you, to get saved. And I know most of you, most of your lives. But the bottom line is, he waited on us. Lord, help us to wait on him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll wait. Lord, help Carl now. Lord, help Carl. All right, let's go to the last two scriptures. Isaiah 40 and 28. Anybody know what that is? I love this reading right here. Isaiah 40 and 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that even the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, and he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But what does it say? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and thou shalt mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh my. Have you ever seen an eagle fly? How many of you have ever been in the mountains of Colorado and watched the birds get down and work them? I guess you call it the wind currents. And they just stick their wings out here. And they don't use them much. They get in a wind current and they just sail. It's the most beautiful thing. It's God. It's God giving the wind, and it's God that made the bird, and I just love to watch him sail. Lord, there's going to be times you and I is going to sail. And there's going to be times we're going to be sitting down and waiting. There's going to be times we're laying and waiting. There's going to be times that we just are just in between, so to speak. But said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Just wait on the Lord. He'll take care of us. Just give him time, because he knows exactly what he wants to do and how to do it. I have been in carpenter work and janitor work, and sometimes it's taken me a little bit to figure out just how do I want to do this. One installed job we was on one time, and had experienced installers there, best I remember. I don't remember who all was there. Seemed like Matt was there and maybe some of the Mitchells. And we had taken a piece and had a case line here that come over and to a corner right here and come back this way, best I remember. And we took a piece that was supposed to be on this side and we put it over there. And then things didn't start working right. And we thought, what are we doing wrong? So we called either either Brother Philip or Brother Dan. Or either that, or they called Wood Design. Anyway, found out that it was our fault. We had put the wrong piece in the wrong spot. Well, we was able to get that loose without too much damage, and we started doing the right thing. And guess what? It worked fine. Oh, they that wait on the Lord shall renew. You're going to renew your strength as you wait on the Lord. I don't care how much we cry. I don't care how much we moan and groan. The Lord will, as we go, there's going to be a renewing. There's going to be a lifting. There's going to be a blessing. And they shall mount up with wings. It's time to fly a while now, children. Come on. And they're going to run. And they're not going to be weary. He's going to give all the strength we need for us to go and go and go. There's times you look at it and you say, I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. You wait on the Lord, and He will help you every step of the way till you get where you see, and you fire up, and away you go. He will help you to do it. All right, Psalm 59:9. Psalm 59:9. No, Carl, not Proverbs. You want Psalms. It always reads right if you get in the right spot, I found out through the years. Because of His strength will I wait upon Him, for God is my defense. For God is my defense. Oh, today, there's nobody better to have on your side than the Lord. He can take care of anything we need Him to take care of, anything we need Him to do. But He says, I'd like you to wait, children. I've got something special for you, but I want you to wait. Have you ever had somebody say, well, I want you to come to a birthday party, or I want you to do this or do that, and it sounds like it's really exciting and so forth, and you go, and I want to get there. I wish it was today, or tomorrow, or the next day. And you got to wait. And then you gotta wait a little longer. And then you gotta wait a little longer. And then maybe you went to it and it wasn't as dramatic or great as you thought it would be. And you thought, oh my. Lord help us. Wait on the Lord. I say wait on the Lord. Wait, I say on the Lord. Wait on Him. You'll never be sorry when you wait and do what He wants you to do. Go where He wants you to go. There's been times that I get out in evangelistic work sometimes and things start happening that I had no idea was going to happen. There was a baby one time, died many, many years ago. It was only, well, I guess it was just barely a newborn. It wasn't very old at all when it died. I knew that the situation, I knew about that over in Kentucky. So I went and they let me know, said, Brother Carl, the baby's been born and it died. Just basically like what the doctors told him, best I remember. So I went to the setting up, not the setting up, but the wake. And the grandparents were standing there and I didn't know them. I didn't know the parents. I just knew the people I was with. And I walked up to them and in my mind I'm thinking, Lord, I've never been through this, so to speak. What do I do? I'm saying this in my mind to myself. And the Lord gave me a scripture. And if I can remember which one it was, it's over there in Psalms, I believe it is. The Lord healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And as I walked up to him, I know now lots more than this old fellow did then. And I told him, I said, the Lord can heal your heart. And quoted that scripture, he can help you. They were devastated. Pretty little baby. That'd be tough. If you've ever lost a child, that would be hard to go through. But the Lord can help you to help others. They can help you, them to help you. And the Lord can dry your tears. He can heal your broken heart. He can comfort you in ways that you don't even realize what he can do. The depth of what he can do is a better way to put it. I appreciate your time and your attention. We desire your prayer that we live for the Lord. Interested in making heaven my home, and I'm working that way. So you pray for us. Appreciate your time and attention this morning.